Okay, tonight is Monday night, June 26th. This is the Gemara Share. We're up to Maseches Moed Katan, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai, we're up to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to finish the parak tonight. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah about a third of the way down. So the Mishnah says, "Mechapin es haktzios bekash." If you have any types of fruit that have to be dried, you are allowed to cover them on Cholosh HaMoed with leaves or something or pieces of wood so they shouldn't get wet. Rabbi Huda Oimer af me'avin. As to what exactly me'avin and mechapin mean, the Gemara will explain just a moment. But me'av, according to the Gemara itself, me'avin means not only are you allowed to cover the fruits, but you're allowed to make a pile of the fruits so that it's easier to cover as opposed to having them completely spread out. And it's just a question of tircha, no malacha per se, but the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that, and it's abundantly evident why. Because if they get wet, then these are dates, or then they're going to get ruined. They're designed to be dried, dried fruits, and if they're going to get wet, it's going to be a little more difficult to dry them. Mochre peiros ksus vekelin, people who sell fruits, clothing, or utensils, mochrin bitzina letzorech hamoed, are permitted to sell bitzina letzorech hamoed. The Gemara later on will explain what exactly does bitzina mean. It depends where your store is located. If your store is located not facing the Rosh HaSarabim, but facing an alleyway, then you can open up your store normally. If your store is facing the Rosh HaSarabim, so at that time, apparently, many stores had two doors, so you would open one of them and keep the other one locked. That already indicates some type of a change. And that's what the Gemara calls bitzina. It doesn't mean you have to sell it only in your basement when nobody can see that you are selling. Hatsayadin v'hadeshushos v'hagrusos osin bitzina letzorech hamoed. Sayadin are hunters. Reshushos are people who spread nets, like for fishing. Or others say it means to be dush. So they go ahead and cut up, they grind wheat for cereal purposes. Also, osin bitzina, letzorech hamoed. Rav Yosi Aimer, heim hechmiru al atzman. Heim hechmiru ba'atzman. They were machmir upon themselves not to do something. What were they machmir? We'll see. We'll see in 2 seconds. Now, the reason why the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, say that this has to be done bitzina, says Rashi, take a look at Rashi bitzina, Shema Yomru Ze Lokeach Shelo Letzorech HaMoed. That somebody is in effect buying something Shelo Letzorech HaMoed. Because when you grind and grain, you don't usually buy grain, you know, in small amounts. It's usually done in large volume. So hence, you don't want everybody witnessing your purchasing this amount of grain, and as a result, we require that it be done bitzina and not bifarhesia in public. Not in public. Fine. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay. We'll read the Gemara and then begin to open it up with a point of departure of the Ritva. Says the Gemara, Pligi ba Rabchia Baraba v'Ravasi Utarvayu Mishmei Dechizkiya v'Rav Yochanan. Rab Chia and Rab Asi argued, and they were both arguing in the name of Chizki and Rab Yochanan. Chad Omar Mechapin, which the Mishnah said Mechapin, is Akluche, and Ma'avin is Asmuche. Akluche means you simply cover the dates or figs with branches which happen to be meruchakin ze mizeh. They're spread out, and you just take a piece of wood and cover it. So that's what mechapin means. And what does me'avin mean? Asmuche. You take these branches and you move them closer together, so when you have a bunch of pieces of wood and you cover the fruits, you really cover it properly. If the wood is just spread out and you take one piece of wood and cover some of the figs, you're not going to really cover it effectively. So one of them said that that's what mechapin means, and that's what ma'avin means. V'chad omar, and so the other one says, no. Mechapin means bein akluche, bein asmuche. That mechapin includes both of these. That you go ahead and take a piece of wood and cover the fruit. Or you move them together. You take the pieces of wood and move them together. And what is me'avini? Me'avin also k'min kri. You take the fruit and you pile it up. So that really enables you to effectively cover it, because you've got lots of fruit, you take lots of branches and cover it. That is even a greater degree of covering. Tanya nami hachi, we learned the braisa confirming this. Me'avin Osin Oso Kimin Kri Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it means that you're allowed to pile up the fruit, cover it, and really effectively cover it and protect it from any possible rainfall.
This is all operating on Tircha, or is there something else?
All operating on Tircha.
Even the machlokas between the Chad and the Chad.
That is correct. Just a question of how much Tircha we're going to allow. That's all it is. Okay. Again, Rishonim are pretty silent. Not much discussion or difficulty about this particular Gemara. But on the next Gemara, there's plenty to say. Ibayolahu. So the Mishnah asks, the Gemara asks a fundamental question, trying to define Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah that Heim Hechmiru Al Atzman. They were Machmir Al Atzman. Well, what exactly does that mean? Hechmiru Al Atzman. Ibayelhu. Heim Hechmiru Al Atzman Deloheve Avde Klal. Does it mean that they were machmir upon themselves, that they did not do any malacha whatsoever, that these three people, sayadin, hunters, or dashushos, people who grinded the grain, and so on and so forth, that they decided not to work at all, odilma, or perhaps they were machmir upon themselves, that they did it b'tzina, like the Chachamim said, that they were machmer never to do it b'farhesya. What exactly do they have in mind? When the Gemara said, when the Rabbi Yossi said that they were machmer. So, The Gemara is going to try to resolve this. Toshma. Mochrei peiros, tzus v'kelim, mochrin b'tzina l'tzorech hamoed. These people are engaged in selling. You're allowed to sell fruit, clothing, and utensils, b'tzina. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tagre, Tveria, Hein Hechmiru Alatzman, Shelo Yiyu Mochrin Kol Ikar. They didn't sell at all. So when Rabbi Yossi says that people were machmer upon themselves, it means that Rabbi Yossi holds that these people shut their businesses completely. That's what the Gemara says at this point. So now take a look at the Ritva on the sheet. Ibayelahu, on the Gemara's question, Hein hechmiru alatzman de lo avdei klal, or does it mean that they were machmir upon themselves to do it b'tzina? That was the Gemara's original question. The Gemara answered it from a braisa where Rabbi Yossi said quite clearly that what did he have in mind? That these tagarim of Tveria did not work at all. But the Ritva is going to try to explain the difference in the Gemara's question. Yeah?
So is the implication when he says, hey, Machmir, Alatzman, that really, halacha, you don't have to, is it just a chumrah?
Oh, that's exactly the case. That's exactly the debate that's going to take place. Precisely. Piresh, says the Ritva, Ve'ika Beinayu, and there is a very big difference as to how you initially formulate Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Iyamrit Hein Hechmiru Al Atzman Delo Avdei Klal. If you want to say that they were machmir upon themselves not to do any malacha, Mashma Demode Rabbi Yossi L'Tanakama Be'ikar Hadin. If you make a statement that these people were machmir upon themselves, what does that mean? That Al Pidin, Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Tanakam, that you're allowed to actually work, except that these people decided to be machmir upon themselves. V'nafkemina, and now the halachic difference would be, l'makom shelo nohagu. Shemutarin la'asot kedivrei Tanakam. What would be the difference? That if you had a community where they were not machmir upon themselves not to engage in work, and so therefore, what do? You agree with the Tanakama that you're allowed to do work, and nobody disagrees with the Tanakama. Al pidin, you're allowed to work. However,
Bitsina.
V'i amrit hein hechmiru al atzman lasos b'tzina. If you believe that Rabbi Yossi's statement was that they were machmir to what? To only do it b'tzina, in kein mashma, de Rabbi Yossi, shuras hadin, she'osin afilu b'farhesya. If Rabbi Yossi is saying that they were machmir to do with what? Only b'tzina. It indicates that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that al pidin, you're allowed to even do it b'farhesya. In which case, there is a fundamental machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama only allows b'tzina. Rabbi Yossi, al pidin, allows even b'farhesya. So in a place where these people were not noheg lahachmir, under those circumstances, you would be permitted to be maker in a community where they were not machmir. Umikol makom anan kitanakama kaimala. Shehi stam mishne v'yaf algav de'ika plukta b'masnis and gufa. I, the Ritva, say no. That what is the halacha? The halacha is like the stam mishne. Who's the Stam Mishnah of the Tanakhama? Even though I acknowledge that it's not a real Stam Mishnah. A Stam Mishnah means that what? That nobody's arguing. That there's just one opinion. Here we have Rabbi Yossi arguing in the Mishnah itself and saying that it's just a matter of minhag what you do. But al pidin, you're allowed to do it. So it's a very, very difficult read of the Ritva. And he says that there are other places where he records this in the exact same fashion. Even though the Mishnah itself quotes a Machloikis, and he quotes the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah. If you remember the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, there's a Machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And yet the Ritva there says, no, it's a Stam Mishnah. The Halach is really like Beis Hillel, that whatever Beis Hillel says, there's a Machloikis in the Gemara, was Beis Shammai the Machmir or Beis Hillel was the Machmir. So whatever Beis Hillel said, that is now considered the Stam Mishnah, and the Ritva says the same thing is taking place here. That's how the Ritva records it.
Why do you necessarily assume? I mean, it seems logical, but not totally. If you were a machmir not to do malacha,
right?
Then why do you have to say al pidin? They agree with the Tana Kama and can work bitzina. Why can't they? Why do they have to agree with the Tana Kama? Maybe they're just.
If what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that these people were machmir not to work betzina, so then, or to do their work only betzina, it means that the halacha is like the Tana Kama who say that you're allowed to do it betzina. But you had a couple of people who were machmir. That's all. There is no kernel of a debate. Rabbi Yossi is just commenting and say, yes, Chachamim, you are right that you're allowed to do it betzina, but I know of communities where they were machmir not to do so. Where's the debate? But if you claim that Rabbi Yossi says that they were machmir not to do any malacha whatsoever, then there is a machloikus. Then there's a machloikus. The Chachamim, Tanakama allow you to do it betzina. Rabbi Yossi says, some people were machmir not to do any malacha whatsoever. That's a machloikis. And in fact, if you take a look, I'm sorry I didn't photostat it, but if you'll take a look at your Perush HaMishnayis on the Rambam, of the Rambam on this Mishnah.
It's the other way around. Machloikis
is if
they were machmir to do it betzina.
Right.
Then there's a machloikis. If they're machmir not to do any work, then they were allowed to do it betzina, except they made it harder on themselves. So then there's no argument with the Tanakh.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. But if they said that
machmir to do a betzina,
you're right. That's what I said the first time. Right. But that means that if you are machmir not to do it betzina, it means doing it betzina is only a chumrah.
That's right.
Al pidin, you're allowed to do it befarhesia. Then it becomes a critical, real machloikis. Yeah. The chachamim say only betzina is mutar al pidin. Rabbi Yossi says al pidin even befarhesia. But some people were machmir not to do it. If you look at the Rambam writes, ein halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. So if the Rambam writes, takes the trouble to write ein halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, what must be is going on between Rabbi Yossi and the Tana Kama? A real machlokes. Otherwise you don't say ein halacha. So therefore, he must understand that what Rabbi Yossi had in mind was that they were machmir not to do it, to do it betzina. Everybody else who don't want to decide to do it betzina are allowed to do it befarhesia, and that is the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Tana Kama. And I, Rambam, am paskening like the Tana Kama that the halach is against Rabbi Yossi, that you have no option to do it befarhesia; it must be done betzina. Correct. That's how the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayis writes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, There is, if you take page number 3 for just a second. Rav Ami writes, Mekol lon shehein mima'atin besimchas haregel. The Yerushalmi writes, why don't I want to take the position that some of them were machmir to do what? Not to work at all. Not to do any malacha. Not just that they were machmir to do it betzina, but not to do it at all. Why do I want to reject that? Because by being a big machmir upon yourself, what's happening to everybody else? They're not going to be able to avail themselves of what you offer. So if you offer garments or clothing, people on both great payrolls are not going to be able to have fresh fruit. And we don't want people to deny their Simchas Yom Tov. Therefore, the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi is quoted by Magen Mishnah and many others, why is it that we would paskin against advising mochrim not to be machmir upon themselves? Because it's, you're being machmir on someone else's plates. Somebody else is going to suffer because you're being machmir. And everybody quotes this last line of the Yerushalmi of our perek in this regard, because we try to enhance Simchas Yontiv and not to deny and limit Simchas Yontiv. Now, if you go to page number 2 for just a moment, this is the Mordechai's comment, which the Rambam would quote. Okay, just give me 1 minute.
Get this from time to time. I feel it's a sugar drop. I can get sweaty and. Okay. So the Mordechai writes,
Hatsayadin, Tsaide Ophos, Mochrin Bitsino Litzorich Hamoed. So if you capture birds, so because people want to eat chicken, that can only be done Bitsina. About Tsaide Dogim, but people who capture fish, Shahadavar Nikar, Shahu Litzorich Hamoed. Everybody knows that when you're catching a fish, that you're going to eat it on Yontif. You don't catch a fish for 6 weeks from now. Hayaniro lahatir af bifarhesya. I would assume that catching fish is even mutter bifarhesya. Even though it says tsayodin, that's tsayde ofos, but or animals. The Gemara said you're allowed to go out and hunt, mashma to catch fish, mashma b'fahesya. V'yesh lidamoso litavlin shenikar shehu litzorich hamoed v'sharinan b'gemara. I would compare catching fish to selling spices. And the Gemara is going to say that selling spices can be done even b'fahesya, because everybody is aware of the fact that it's done litzorich hamoed. Now, not everybody agrees with the Mordechai. Not everybody agrees with the Mordechai. If you take a look at page number 4, the Magen Avraham, so the Magen Avraham makes 2 points. Number one, he's commenting on the Ramah, who says, "Umuta litzodan," you're allowed to go ahead and capture fish. "Va'afilu nohagu shelo latzud," even if you have a community where the minug was what? Not to go hunting for fish or even for birds. Rishain lachzor mimin hagam. You can change the practice in your community, and this is not a simple thing. Normally, communities have a right to establish a minhag hamakom. You have a whole fourth parak in Maseches Pesachim called makom shenoagu. So if a community decides not to engage in something and to enhance one value, namely the value of protecting the dignity of Chol HaMoed, an individual should have no right to violate that. Nonetheless, the Magen Avraham says, you can, because it counteracts another value, Mipnei Shemimatin Misimchas Yontif. It eliminates Simchas Yontif. So that's point number one. Point number one. Point number two is in Sif Katan Yud, which I bracketed the other one. Kavonas Ramah la'ashmi'inan d'dogim shari k'may shekosav sof simin dalet b'shem ha-Mordechai. And we just read that Mordechai. U'mikol makom tzorech iyon minole ha-divrei ha-Mordechai. Minole, how do I know? Ha-divrei ha-Mordechai mayri b'mi she'enu uman k'de'isa b'gemara shehevi. The Gemara, which the Mordechai quoted, is a Gemara we did on Daf Yud Aleph, which is talking about an average citizen walking. If you remember, the dam had collapsed, so it created a little pool of water, and what was there as well? Lots of fish came in. And they allowed people, because otherwise it was going to be hefsid maruba. It's a davar avid, because if you're not going to take them, it's not a real source of water, the fish were going to die. So who is it talking about? It's talking about me and you coming out of our house and just picking up a tuna fish. Of a harav beis Yosef, shepasaka harambam, the dafka uman asur, lefisha ose harbe biyachad, Imkain af bedogim also bifarhesya. If you have a professional fisherman, he can't go ahead and use his, because how do professional They don't just take a fishing rod and try to, they spread nets and they get in bulk. And that's certainly not necessarily going to be for Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed use. That's for protracted time. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says that the Heter, which the Rama quotes, of Tzedas Dagim, based on the Marchai, he believes is only for a non-Uman. However, most Rishonim don't interpret, first of all, the Rama didn't interpret it that way, he didn't write only Uman, and most other Rishonim who quote the Marchai did not limit it only to a non-Uman, even an Uman. Yeah.
Because I'm assuming it's a matter of how long the fish is going to be good.
Correct.
And even in bulk, it doesn't last more than a couple of days.
That is correct. No doubt. No doubt. You're right. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Let me invite the Gemara. So the Gemara had said in the name of Rabbi Yossi that the Tagrei Tveria hein hechmir atzum shlo yomarchan kalikar. Tzidei chayos v'ofos v'dogim, we just read it, tzadin b'tzino l'tzorech hamoed. Rabbi Yossi omer, tzadei ako hein hechmirin al atzman shlo yutzadin kol ikar. Rishonim kind of struggle, how in the world do you engage in seda b'tzina? Fish are not going to go in your backyard, and animals are not running in your backyard. You know, it's got to be out in public. It's a little difficult, and no one had a hava mina that it's going to be in Rosh Hashanah. And you know, it's a very difficult. I didn't find anything satisfactory to explain what does this mean b'tzina in this particular regard.
How does Mordechai learn this?
That is correct, but that's perhaps what forces some people to learn that the Gemara is only talking about an Uman. That question might be which. So then you can say an Uman, he's got to be limited to only Betzina. Anybody else can even do Don Befahesia. That could very well be that which forced the Magen Avraham to say what he said. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Deshushe Tzipore, Hein Hechmiru Alatzman Shiliu Doshishin, Tzode Ako, Hein Hechmirin Alatzman Shiliu Tzodan Kalika. The hunters in Ako, they were machmir not to do any hunting at all. Dashushe chilka targis vitisne. Those who take grain, this is one interpretation of Rashi, they take the grain and cut it into half, thirds, or quarters. Doshishin bitsina litzorech hamoed. They're allowed to cut it up only bitsina. Rabbi Yossi Yomer dashushe tzipore of the hein hechmiratzman shileu doshishin kolikar. Omar Abaye. Okay, no, this is what that means. Doshushe means just to be dosh, to thresh. Omar Abaye chilka chada litarte. Targis chodolitlas, tisne chodola arbe. So chilka means that they cut it in half, targis means they cut it into thirds, tisne means they cut it into quarters. Kiyosa ravdimi amar kunta. What does this mean? Kunta. Kunta means, says Rashi, kusmis. Shilosisin oso hainu chilka. What is kusmus? Spelt? Spelt. And that's what chilka is. It means spelt. That they would grind chelk. Spelt. Ask the Gemara, meisvei. Chilka targis Vitisne Tmein Bechol Makom. Chilka, Targis, and Tisne are Tame Bechol Makom. The halacha is that in order to become possible, to become Tame of Tumas Oichlin, you have to have water touch it beforehand. That's called Hechsher Lekabel Tumah. It's a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Kiyutan Mayim Al Zera. So the Brisa says that Chilka Targis V'Tisne are Tmein B'chol Makom. So take a look at Rashi. What does it mean? Tmein B'chol Makom. Rashi. Mekablin Tumah Bein B'Kvarim Bein B'Krachim. Whether you are dealing with in villages or in the major cities. Dekaimelon, soles shel b'nei krachim, mikabeles tuma, shehuchshara b'mayim, ubein ubnei kfarim, ein makpidin, asoles nekia, lilsos b'mayim, v'soles shelohen, tohor, shelohuchshar me'ola. So, when it comes to a flower of chita, there was a difference between what and what, cities and kfarim. So in kfarim, they became mukhsha lekabel tumah, but in the city, they were not particularly interested in what?
It has to be
l'ratzon. It has to be l'ratzon. And in the cities, they were not particularly pleased when water came in contact with the flower. Avol chilka tmein b'chol makom afilu b'kfarim. Chilka is tmein b'chol makom de'i efshar lohem b'lo l'sisa. You can't engage in any product, any work with chilka unless you do what? Unless you soak it in water. Mishum hachi tmein d'ha miskashre d'shari luhu b'mayim. We're perfectly pleased that water comes in contact with it. Says the Gemara. So if you say bishlam alamandi amachadol etarte letlasul arba mishim hachi tmein b'chol makom de iskasher. If you say that chilka targis and tisne means taking regular grain and cutting it up into half, thirds, and quarters, we understand why it became mukhsha lekabel tumah, because you bedafka put water on it. Ela lamandi yama kunta amay tmein b'chol makom halo is kasher. Why would kusna, which is the spelt, if you have not cut it up, it just happens to be spelt, why would it necessarily become mukhsha lekabel tumah? Answers the Gemara, kagon de miklafon. What did you do? You took off, you peeled its shell. De'i lav, de'shara lehu b'maya, lo have a miklafa. If you did not want the spelt to come in contact with water, why would you bother taking off the outer shell? The amai korol a chilka. Why is spelt called chilka? The shokal chilkehu. You took away the klipa, which means a chelik of it, a part of it. So chilka doesn't mean cutting it in half. It means taking off a part of it, which is the shell. Taking off the shell. Yeah. Yeah. Asks the Gemara. Meisve, hanoder min hadogon osur af bepul hamitzri yavesh. Umutar belach, umutar beorez, bechilka, vitargis, vitisne. If somebody takes a simple neder, I will stay away from dagon, from grain. So he's not permitted to take pul hamitzri. What is pul hamitzri? What's the English translation? Pul hamitzri? Some kind of bean. What?
Egyptian bean.
Egyptian bean. Okay. If it's dry, but you're allowed to have it when it's wet. Umutur be'orez, and he's allowed to have rice, and he's allowed to have chilka targis v'tisne. Is bishlom alamandi yomar chodol etarte chodol etlas v'chodol arba shapir dinafkiluhu mitoyras dogon. If you say that that chilka targis means cutting it up, so I understand if you take a neder dogon, what do you have in mind? The whole grains. So when you cut it up into a half or a third, that's not what you had in mind. But but if you say it's what? It's kusmus. Kusmus is one of the chameshes mini dagan. Why should you be permitted to eat kusmus if you took a neder not to eat dagan? Answers to Gemara. Kashi, you right? I have no answer for that. Now, Rishonim point out that there is a machloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in general. What does the word dagon mean? The Chachamim are of the opinion that dagon only means, every time the word dagon appears, it only means the chameshus mina dagon. Rabbi Meir means it includes all types of grain. All types of grain. So therefore, this particular brisa, which is willing to include, pul hamitzri, and just excluded rice, but pul hamitzri obviously is going against the Tanakhama. And it's a little unusual that the Gemara is going to go challenge our Gemara based on an opinion which the Halach is against. Yeah, it's Rabbi Meir's opinion. But the Chachamim say that this doesn't include anything like Pul HaMitzri. But anyhow, you should just be aware of the Machloikis and that our Gemara is being formulated according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir that it includes not only the Chameshes Mine Dagon, but other grains as well. Other grains as well. Rav Huna sharolahu lahanu krupaisa lemezval leizvune ki urchayu b'shuka. Rav Huna allowed people who were selling spices to sell in their normal fashion, the way they do it on a regular weekday. Esve Rav Kahana, Chanus Psucha Listav. If you have, this is what I mentioned before, if you have a store that is open to the courtyard, to a Mavoy, Poseach V'Noel Kedarka, you can open the store regularly. But if it's Psucha L'Rishus Harabim, Poseach Achas V'Noel Achas. The Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag Motzi U'Me'ater Eshuke Ha'ir B'Peiros B'Shvil Kvod Yom Tov Ha'achron. But on Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron, you're allowed to take out all of your fruits and decorate the markets of Yerushalayim or any place B'Shvil Kvod Yom Tov Ha'achron. Says the Gemara, Mipnei Kvod Yom Tov Ha'achron in Shalom Mipnei Kvod Yom Tov Ha'achron lo. So why did Rav Huna allow him, the spice people, to open up their stores even and sell kedarkam? Answers the Gemara, lo kashi. Ho bepeirei, ho betavlin. When you're dealing with peiros, says Rashi, then there is a concern that what? That you might be buying fruits or vegetables for long term for after yantiv. But spices, everybody knows it's for tzerich yantiv, and as a result, it is permissible to open up spice stores in their regular fashion. And the only thing that is not permissible is fruits. Now, when the Gemara says Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron, there is a machloikis, the Rambam and all other Rishonim, is it limited only to Sukkos or not? So take a look at page number 5 for a minute. You have the halacha in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Yom Tov Halacha Chof Gimel. Says the Rambam, Mochrei Peiros Ksus Vikelim, Mochrin Bitsina Litzorech Hamoed. They're allowed to open up Bitsina Litzorech Hamoed. Ketzad, Im Hoysa Hechanus Psucha Lizovis to a corner, Ola Mavui, Poseach Kedarkai. This keeping one of the doors locked is just a heker. It's a heker to remind people today is Chol HaShomoed, don't buy 50 pounds worth of produce or utensils. The Erev Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Sukkos Motzi Ume'ateres Hashuk Bepeiros Bishvil Kvod Yom Tov. So the Magen Mishnah explains that the reason why the Rambam limits it only to what? To Sukkos is based on the fact that go to page number 6 for a minute. I quoted the Magen Mishnah. I have the Magen Mishnah photostated. After the bracketed lines, Lefi, 4 lines into the bracketed lines. Lefi shiyomtov ha'achron shel chag ha'sukkos hu regel bifnei atzmo. Everybody knows that Shmini Atzeres is its own independent yomtov. Ume'atrin es hashuk lichvod ha'regel. Ma she'ein kein biyomtov ha'achron shel Pesach. But that's not the case. The last day of Pesach, it's nothing special. It's the seventh day of Yontif, and you don't have to beautify and decorate the markets of Yerushalayim or any shuk on the last day of Yontif, because it doesn't have any added kedusha above and beyond the first days of Yontif. That's what the Rambam says. However, the Rush and the Tur, let's see if I photos that, no I didn't, the Rush in Simen Yud Ches and the Tur simply cite the Gemara B'Kilishona U'me'atrin Mipnei Yom Tov Ha'achron. They don't say only Mipnei Yom Tov Ha'achron Sukkos, but even because of the last day of Yontif, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaShomoed in order to beautify the marketplace on any day of Yom Tov. Yeah. Now, there is a discussion in some Achronim about whether or not you are allowed to engage in melacha on Chol HaShomoed or any activity l'tzorech yontif sheni shel galus. A discussion. You'll see the discussion if you would like to take for just a second. Just a second. Look at page number 9 for a minute. This is a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So he has, a very specific type of question. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm just quoting the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that mutar le'ater v'gam liknos b'chol ha'moed Litzorech Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. The Mechaber says you're allowed to do everything on Chol HaShomoed Litzorech Yontif Sheni. So first of all, what's the issue? Why would I need the Mechaber to tell me that you're allowed to do it? What's the hava mina? Why would the mechaben have to tell me? And if he'd not write it, what would you say? What would be the issue involved? So you have to flash back to the very first shiur we gave on Ma'ariv Katan. So what issue did we discuss at the beginning of Ma'ariv Katan? It came up 6,000 times.
The rise of the Rabbanan.
Correct. Whether the nature of the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan or Doraisa. So assume that it's a Doraisa. What now becomes the issue? Are you allowed to violate an Isur Doraisa in order to be Mekayim Simcha, a Simcha Yantav, which is only Midrabbanan? Maybe only for the seventh day of Pesach or for Shmini Atzeres. You're allowed to do it, but not for Simchas Torah. Because you can do something on a Doraisa level to promote another Doraisa, not to promote a Derabbanan. So the Mechaber writes that you are allowed to engage in any activity, and Rabbi Kibbeh elaborates, and he writes, Kol Malacha, anything that's necessary for Yontav Sheni is permissible. That's what he writes. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raises the following question. It's on page 9. Imutar leben Eretz Yisrael levashel b'chol hamoed avur ben chutz la'aretz letzorech Yontav Sheni begalos. So you have somebody who is in Eretz Yisrael, and you have a chutznik who's going to observe 2 days Yontav. A chutznik is going to observe 2 days Yontav. Or an Eretz Yisrael guy coming here is going to observe 1 day Yontav. Is he allowed to cook for somebody on Chol HaMoed, for somebody who is going to observe 2 days Yontav or not? So what's the nature of the question here? Nature of the question is that this person doing the cooking, for him, he's not allowed to cook, because for him it's a weekday. It's not Yontav Sheni for him. It's a weekday. So can he cook for someone who is going to be observing a Yom Tov when he himself would be, that day is a weekday for him? So, So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, turns the question on its face, and he says, is the guy allowed to cook for himself on Chol HaMoed, to eat on Chol HaMoed? Of course. See, he establishes the following rule. Whatever you're allowed to do for yourself, you're allowed to do for somebody else. Once you're allowed to cook for yourself, because it's Chol HaMoed and you're allowed to cook for yourself, you are allowed to what? Cook for somebody else. And that would lead you to the question, because did he ask the question, can a Ben Eretz Yisrael on the day which is weekday for him, which is after Yontav, Isru Chag, can he cook for a Ben Eretz Yisrael, for a Ben Chutz La'aretz who is observing a second day Yontav? Everybody says he's allowed to. Because for him, there's not a shemitz of Isur here whatsoever. None whatsoever. But on Chol HaMoed, there is something to concern with. Because even for himself, he's only allowed to cook for what? For Yontav, a Chol HaMoed. Not for a day after Yontav. That's why he limits the question to what? To a situation where a Ben Eretz Yisrael would be cooking on Chol HaMoed on behalf of what? Somebody who's going to observe Yontav Sheni. But he does not raise the question, and that's the Stam Halacha. And if somebody was observing a second day Yontav, is allowed to ask an Israeli to do any Malacha for him. Because the Israeli is allowed to do it for himself. Once he's allowed to do it for himself, there is an Isur of Amira L'Nachri, but there ain't no such parallel as Amira L'Yisrael Shvus. There is no such Halacha. And that's why, but on Chol HaMoed, that's what he raises. Ramesha has another issue on pages 7 and 8. Ramesha has an issue if you have a store and the only people in the neighborhood are Goyim. There are no Jews customers. Or Ramesha says you have Jewish customers, but they're not Shomrei Shabbat. Not Shomrei Mitzvos. Rav Moshe says, you're not allowed to keep your store open for them on Chol HaShamoim. Because the heter to engage in sale is only on behalf of Jews, L'tzorech Yontif. That's a very big, big chumrah, must say.
What about the fact that he's going to lose... Lose his money.
So that's not, we already saw that 50 times. That's not Dover Ovid. That's Minias Harevach. That's avoiding the profit. It's not Dover Ovid. But he does write if it's going to lead to Ava, then it's okay. If the people are going to be all upset, how come you're not selling me anything? They'll be upset. Okay. But it's interesting that he writes that somebody who was not a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, he's not a Shomer Shabbos, he has a din like a goy in this respect. And this is a fundamental machloikis between the Rav and Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe applies this halacha that a Mechal Shabbos befahesia is considered like a real goy in relationship to several halachot. Number one, you're not allowed to drink their wine. If a Jew who is not a Shomer Shabbos handles the wine, it's asur stam yeinam, like an oved avodah zarah. That's number one. Number two, Rav Moshe holds that a mechal Shabbos befahesia is not allowed to duchen. A kohen who is a mechal Shabbos, the gabbai tell him, step out of shul, you're not allowed to duchen. And the Rav said that when the Gemara says that a Mechal Shabbos b'fahesia is considered kimuma l'chol ha-toyra kula, it didn't mean that you're a goy. It meant that you forfeit halachic trustworthiness in areas of halacha which require trustworthiness. So if somebody who is a Mechal Shabbos b'fahesia invites you to the house, technically they don't have any ne'emanus to say that what? That the food is kosher. They don't. It can become a sticky situation when neighbors invite you if they daven in a conservative reform shul and they're not Mechal Shabbos and you invited them and now they want to reciprocate. It can become a very sticky situation. But where the halacha is based on that you have a din of a goy, the halacha of pouring wine has nothing to do with what? With ne'amanus. The halacha being of doing berachas kahanim is nothing to do. It's a halacha in the gavra. The gavra is a guy. He's not a guy. He's a Jew. And therefore the Rav disagreed all three times that selling to a non-Jew is perfectly okay on Chol HaShamoed. A guy, a non-Kayan Shomer Shabbos, a Kayan who's not a Mechal Shabbos, who's a Mechal Shud Duchen, and Stam Yenam of a Jew who pours wine is not Asur. A Jew is allowed to drink it. So the question is, how to define that famous Gemara in Chulin, that a Mumel Avodah Zarah and a Mumel Chal Shabbos is considered Kamumel Chal HaTorah Kula. Rav Moshe says it becomes, you are a Nachri, you are like a Goy. The Rav says it means you forfeit Ne'emanus when Ne'emanus is required. But the Gavra himself is not a guy. All right, Tam Vinishla Misha Hafach. Okay. I hope everybody has a wonderful summer, and we'll continue with the third parak, which is the basis of all of the halachas of Avelus. The Rav, when he, in 1967, when his mother, his brother, and his wife died within 3 months of each other, when he came back to the yeshiva, could not console himself, and only learned Hilchas Avelus. He learned Ma'id Katan, Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Hilchas Avelus, and Misha Meso, the third parak of Brachas. For 6 months, that's all he did. He says, I can't be consoled I can't concentrate learning anything else, I have to learn Hilchas Avelus. And that's what he did. So this is a very important parak. Hopefully, eventually everybody's going to need it. There used to be a people were exactly would never learn Hilchos Avelos. This would never be, but not in public. They would never teach Ma'ariv Katan the third parak, because it's like a death way, you know. Never teach the third, skip the third parak of brachas if you're teaching it. Now it's already people a little more, not as superstitious. It's all superstition. Yeah. All right. Yeah.